Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi had just come to Pakistan and try and understand the demographics in that period that he had moved over. There was hardly any madrasa there, and there was quite a bit of ignorance. Up till now, there was some efforts, there were some efforts that were done, but the efforts were directed towards the partition of India and Pakistan. Now that the partition has been completed, so the effort and the struggle is now to bring some dini understanding and dini discipline amongst people. To get that dini understanding and discipline, you need an institute. You can't just do it like that. You can't do it randomly. Like, you want to treat someone, then you need a hospital. You can't just on the street sit down there and start treating people. You need a place, you need an institute, you need something to work on people, correct them, give them a direction. With much difficulty, he had acquired a land and in a very, very appropriate point, right in the center of Karachi, easy accessible, people can come in there. So he found a land, was given to him, documentations were all complete, everything over. And people had known of Mufti Sahib, so many people were already starting to come to him. Now, people requested that since you are starting off a madrasa, so you need to announce this. People don't know that there's a madrasa that is starting off. So you must announce it so that they can come. Like how you're going out in Jamaat, then you announce that you're going out to the Markaz, Raibin, or Nizamuddin, etc. So you need to make an announcement about this. And when they will know, they know there's a madrasa. So they will come. People that are interested, they will come, or they will send their children. And number two is, then the madrasa needs funds, needs money for it to run. So the people that want to contribute is this avenue to contribute as well. So there was a shura, and the shura decided that they should have a jalsa and invite people from the length and the breadth of India or from Pakistan and let people know what's going on here. Everything was set for a jalsa, people were called, and lengthy arrangements were made according to the zamana, according to that time, all the arrangements were made. In the meanwhile, what was going on, there had to be some spanner in the work. Someone was claiming that this property belongs to him. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went initially and showed the documents, everything. There's nothing to hide. And you shouldn't feel that anybody is cheating you. When we are doing public work, it's important to be completely transparent. Any public work is being done, then there must be transparency. And the reason for the transparency is that it is not your personal business. it is the business of the public. So when it is the business of the public, then the public needs to know where their money is being used. So they don't feel that the funds are being misused, they are going in the wrong direction, who is using it, how they're handling the wealth. Well, it's their wealth, they must know what's going on. So it is just right that the public knows what's going on in this madrasa, what's going on in this institute. Like that, even in the home, then between the parents and the children, there must be transparency again. The parents must know exactly what's going on in the lives of the children, in their free times, in the times that they socialize, they meet up with friends, what's going on. So if the child is asking for permission, then the right thing to ask is, who are you going with? Who's your partner? Who's your friend? Right? And in this day, it's even better to join him. Even if he needs to go for some recreation, then join him. So you know that there is a monitor over the child, and inshallah, he won't go off. Right? Not that if there isn't, there is a monitor, he won't go off, but the chances for him to go off are less. Right? Sometimes after all the precaution, then too, the child goes wrong. But most of the time when you take all the precautions, then you don't see things going off. And that happens in all things. You know, the business, you took care of the business proper, and every department you had the checks and the balances, everything was going on well, so that business moves smoothly. But you want to play remote control, you're there, you're not there, you are paying attention, not paying attention, and then you want the business to run smoothly, then it doesn't run smoothly. So this is how the operation runs, that you are supposed to be around, right? And you need to have some checks and balances. And that checks and balances, then in certain levels you need to have total transparency. Like I say, it's public work, or it is your subordinates, or it is your business, and they need to have total transparency before you. What they're doing, what is happening in this department, what is happening in the child's life. Right? Until he's not married and settled, he must be answerable to you. He must know what's going on exactly. Right? For example, now, don't give him the chance that he can lock his door. When he's not married, then he mustn't lock the door. Then his mother can walk in, and the father can walk in whenever they want. So now he knows that he's under some type of surveillance. Similarly, they mustn't be given any type of a gadget where they can communicate with someone discreetly. Now a child is a child, and you're giving him a gadget that he can communicate with someone discreetly. He doesn't know limits. And if he then wrong someone else's child, then what happens? See? People don't understand these things. You jump into something and then you think, now how must I reverse the whole thing? About 3 years ago, one prominent person, he gave his son something. Phone, whatever he gave him. And then he discovered that the child, 14 years of age or so, 14 or 15, and he was going into some wrong sites, wrong communication. So the father confiscated it. When he took it back, the child went so depressed that he had to be hospitalized for 1 week. Father was forced again to give it back to him. Hospitalized for 1 week, imagine. He couldn't manage, he couldn't cope. Last year, there was a case where both the couple used to be watching things, whether on the Skype, whether on the video, whichever, whatever, some program or the other they're watching. And because they were a little bit Islamic orientated, so they used to see Islamic ITV, they used to see. All right. they saw these things here, then their minds began to wander from one to the other. Now one program and the other program, and then it's man's tabiat that he wants to compare. I saw this now, let me see something else as well, so I can compare the both. So from ITV they went to, like the Christians call it, televangelism or something. So Christian sites. Now the difference between us and them is, on their side, televangelist. So if on their side, if they need to present something, there's a lot of show. A lot of show involved. The show is so that it may attract the person. There are a few facts, but more of it is show. So that show impresses people. Show, the action, the ambience, whatever is going on, so everything is recorded and thereafter is televised. So a lot of show goes on. That becomes a business on its own, just to prepare the whole show, the whole scene, just to prepare that, it takes a lot of time. And then it becomes like a multi-million business in the name of Christianity. Right? So, on their side it is show, on their side it's presentation, on their side it is just impressing the crowd. So they come up on TV in this manner. So this woman began to watch this thing. Now when she started watching this thing, she got glued into it. And when she got glued into it, then these type of statements came up in her tongue, on her tongue. That had I only been a Christian, this type of statements came up. And repeatedly, this, you know, now what can I do now? I have to suffer, I'm in Islam, I don't have the opportunities like the Christians have. See what, how beautiful their religion is, etc., etc. Now she discussed it with the husband. Okay, this is what's happening. The husband phoned up, so I had to tell them that, see, this is disbelief, this is kufr statements that she has made, and your nikah has become invalid. You have to repeat the nikah. See? But now, where it starts off from? It starts off in such an innocent manner. Most people that do this thing, they don't even realize that that's what they are doing. This is one incident. But there are so many people that are doing it unconscious, they're not even worried about it. One person, also quite intelligent, not ordinary, but very intelligent, got a doctorate and all that. So he knows me, now and then he comes, he pulls in. So one day he came in a rage. He stopped and he asked me to just join him for some time. So I could see he was in a rage and there was something may have been disturbing him. So I thought, all right, he needs some help now, he needs some assistance, let me be with him for some time. So I joined him for some time. Then he tells me, you see, Mulana, you know, had I been young, had I had another chance, I would have been a Christian. Now I'm already aged, over 50, 60. So now it's very late for me to do this type of thing. But if I had a chance, and I'd been young, you know, I had a chance to relive my life, then I would have been a Christian. So I wanted to know why are these type of thoughts. And it came to such a point that he was raged, see. One is just a straight thought that is flying past your mind. And one is he's enraged, and this type of thoughts are suppressing him. So I want to know what's causing this problem. So again, it was the same thing that he views. Television or videos or cell phone, whatever, watching all these things here. When he watched these things, then he's seeing the presentation, how they present. So then he's telling me, see, when you people, when we listen to your people's sermons and bayans, then we are warned about Jahannam, consequence, grave, etc. And when they do the presentation is totally different. How they go about saying things, you die and into the laps of Jesus. Christianity embraces you. Don't worry, it's coming, it's coming. So they don't give that aspect of azab, punishment, and the wrong that one does. They don't give that dimension at all. The only dimension they give is just about reward and the brighter side of it. So that side, that aspect of punishment, etc., they don't give it at all. So this was a statement that he made. He obviously is out of Islam. But I can't tell him this much because he's in a rage now. He's in a rage that if he is going to be evil, he's going to be even, he's going to be drowning. So anyway, all that ended. But then on some other occasion, then I had a chance to speak to him. I saw now he was relaxed. When a person is relaxed, then you can talk to him. But when he's in a rage, then you're going to make things worse. That time you say, this is haram. So he may make a statement of kufr at that time. So you have to be careful of that person's iman. It becomes even worse. He becomes stubborn in his ways. He doesn't want to reel back. So then I have to explain to him that if you got a child is too close to you, right? And he's got a poison in his hand. He doesn't know the consequence of this poison, right? So you tell him, see this thing here, you're going to eat this, you're going to die. You will suffer, you know. You will suffer you like this. Your whole intestines will cut off. You will be miserable for at least 1 week. You'll be hospitalized and there will be no chance to get you back. The type of pain, the agony that you will go through. You know, one side there will be blood coming out from your mouth. Then the intestines will be all cut off. Then you can't eat. They have to put you onto drips. You know, you'll be lucky that you just, even if you survive, then they have to put all type of surgery and all with you, onto you. You know, so the difficulty that you will have. So if that child turns around and tells you, Abba, you only speak about the darker sides of things, you don't speak about the brighter side of things, then is he right in saying what he's saying? And say, for example, you were impressed by his bayan. He gave you a very beautiful, beautiful lecture and you got impressed. So you only spoke to him about the brighter side. So, you know, son, don't eat this. You rather eat chocolates or you rather eat something healthy. It'll be so good for you. Your health will pick up, etc., etc. And you didn't talk about this. In knowing that this child is doing this, you didn't talk to him about it. You only spoke to him about the brighter side. And then he fell into this and he discovered that you knew what he was doing and you knew the wrong of this poison, the consequence of this poison, you knew. What will happen to the child? He'll never forgive you for the rest of his life. You knew that this was wrong, this was destructive, this was toxic, you know. You knew it and you never even have the heart to come and correct me. So how will he feel? So this is the ulama now. The ulama, they will tell you as it is. As it were, they will tell you. Someone will be a little bit more vociferous and someone will be mild, but they will tell you as it is. That if you go on the other side of life, beyond life you go, and then you start catching it, then you don't say, hey, you know, the ulama didn't tell me. If there is, you're traveling on a road, and there are a lot of traffic police, right? A lot of traffic police on that road. So someone signals you that, watch out, there's a lot of police on this road here. They'll find you, and they're very serious today. Today they're very serious. For some reason, whatever it is, they're very serious. They're not going to charge you less than 5,000. And today they're so serious that they may just imprison you. They won't even question you. They'll just ask you to jump off your car, follow them to the station. Right? So they're so serious. And then they won't even give you a bail. The bail, if you want to bail, ask for a bail, that will only appear, or they will only give you the bail after, say, 1 year. And now he told you about it. So what will be your response? See, you always talk about the darker side of things. You're very negative, you know, bail, and, prison, jail, fine. These are things you talk about. You don't talk about the brighter side. You know, you go this road here, you go Park Reni Beach, you go Amkomas Beach, you know, how nice, the water's there, and the holiday resorts you get, and you can book in, you know. So beautiful, scenic places, you know. So you're not talking like this, you're talking all negative things. And say, for example, if this person wasn't warned, you didn't warn him, in spite of him knowing that he's breaking all the traffic rules, and you didn't warn him, right? And then he got caught, and he's in prison, and you went and visited him in prison, and you tell him, "No, I knew about all these things here, but I thought, let me just tell you about the brighter side of things, you know." So what he would do, he would swear you. He could see that I was going wrong, you knew it was wrong, and you knew what was going to happen, but you just shut your mouth. You didn't even tell me. You don't like me. So the Christian is adopting that type of an attitude. He's not telling you what is going on. The reality is he's ducking because he's giving you what you want to hear. He's not giving you what you should be hearing, but he's giving you what you wish to hear. So this is their marketing strategy, that they only give you that what you wish to hear, not what you should be hearing. Like you see, if you eat a lot of fatty stuff, then that is killing, right? Destructive. But the person that is selling you this fat, he won't tell you this is destructive, mustn't eat it, eat so little, I'm not going to sell you more than this. He's not going to tell you all that. Right? Because he wants to sell that commodity of his. So by the same token here, it is destructive, right? But they don't tell you what it is. They only tell you the side that you want to hear. Why? Because they want their numbers to come up, numbers must grow. And because the consequences will be only seen after death, won't be seen in life, therefore they feel very relaxed and they feel very comfortable in what they are doing. They don't feel what they are doing is wrong. They feel very relaxed of what they are doing because the end result of all this will only come after death. Yeah. Within your life, you're not going to see all these things here. Yeah. So anyway, the chacha, he understood. It may have been about 55, 60 or something. So then he tells me, after everything was over, it was really thought-inspiring, what he told me. I didn't look at it from this perspective. I only looked at it from this perspective, that Maharaj is always telling you about death, about Jahannam, about Qabr, about these type of things. But there is another dimension to life. And really, I didn't know about it. I'm very appreciative. So I took him so long to understand this. But now, where you get stuck up, how do you get stuck up? You get stuck up into these things because you get into areas that is beyond your capacity. It's a television program, it's a video program, some other program, but it's beyond you. When it's beyond you, then this is what happens afterwards. One other charger comes, he's also quite intelligent, very intelligent. Sits on the left side of the masjid, he sits. So, now he's into looking at Islamic news. He wants to see Islamic news. What's happening in Iraq, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening here. So I talked to him, and he also is very intelligent. Very intelligent. So, he tells me, when I look at the Islamic world, then it is again a moment, moments of grief, nights of grief, sleeps of uneasiness. Looking at them, and it is just increasing my uneasiness and my grief. So by then, who forced you to go and look at all this? You can't digest it. Why must go into it? Do how much you can manage. After all, the designer of the entire world, entire system is Allah Pak. He knows what's happening. And he is Rahim, He's Ghafoor, He's Haleem, and Raufur Rahim. You believe in all that. So He knows what's happening. You do your bit and you carry on. Don't do beyond that. Because you're going to do beyond that, see, you know, what's happening, why the Muslims are doing this, why are they downtrodden, and then you know, nobody thinks about the Muslims, and why Allah Pak is just not changing things, why it's not happening. All these type of funny questions are going to storm your mind. Eventually, you will be bordering with disbelief. So that person who has the capacity, he must listen to it. إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. Some news comes about peace or about fear, and they go and broadcast it. So this is the way of the munafiq. Anything that comes up, he goes and broadcasts it. But amongst people, there are all types. In the public, it's not only one type of person, all types of people. But now, when there is some type of information that is serious, then what is supposed to be done? Is it supposed to be broadcasted? Like how we say, no, you must know about Islam, what's going on. You must know what's going on about Islam. So what the Quran is saying? إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا. You're not supposed to be doing it. If you look into just the mantuq of this kalam, the mantuq of the Quran is for telling what? You're not supposed to be broadcasting it. What you're supposed to be doing? وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. Then you refer to the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is in the most superior position. In this world, he is in the most superior position. Allah Pak has appointed him. So he'll know how to handle this information. وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. And people that are more responsible, people are in charge of affairs, etc. The whole meaning of ul amr. So because they are in the senior position, they'll know what to do in this type of a circumstance. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُمْ مِنْهُمْ. People that are able to take out and understand things in perspective, they will understand what to be done. They'll understand, they'll know what to do. But now everybody is told about this news and information, what happens? Into grief, into pain, into unnecessary agony, and then that agony, it progresses. It goes to depression, then it goes to the point of despondency. No hope for Islam. There's no hope left for Islam. That's how you go, that's how you begin to think. So who asked you to go in that direction? Who asked you to do all that? Say, no, there's a hadith that you got no concern about Islam, so you got no iman. That concern doesn't mean you must listen to all this news. It doesn't mean that. Who told you that means that you must listen to all this news here, all this junk and everything? And by the way, who's controlling the media? Farishtas, Ambiya, Muttaqi. Who's controlling it? 90% are a bunch of atheists and Satanists. 90% of the media controllers are either atheists or Satanists. So they make you hear what they want you to hear. They want to create a feeling within people that there's no hope left for Islam. They want you to have this feeling that there is no hope left for Islam. This person is murdered, he's being downtrodden, the child is being cut to pieces, this is what happened here. Right? So they want you to hear what they want you to hear. But when they want you to hear, then what is the effect? Effect it has in you that you become despondent. You become despaired of what? Of your own deen. I mean, Islam, what can I do? But this is what's happening to the Muslims. So the little that you were doing and you could have done, you will leave that out as well. There's no hopes now. So now, maybe just carry on now. So the right thing is, when you got this information, then you bring it to the person that is above. See how beautiful this ayat comes. إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. Whose work it is? So the people that are scandalizing, broadcasting, what are they? Are they proper Muslims? Or are they bordering? Or are they munafiq? They can't be proper Muslims because they're going against this verse of the Quran. Right? They are broadcasting because you want to hear. Because you want to hear and see it, therefore they're broadcasting. Had you not wanted to hear, would they broadcasted this? No. So that means you have, to some extent, you are part of them. Right? Like, you know, one is the Musawwir, right? One is the Musawwir. And you are the client, right? So the Musawwir person that is taking the photo, he will take the photo because you want it, right? So aren't you a party to the crime? Had you not wanted it, would they have taken that photo? They wouldn't have taken it. So you want to hear to all any junk, all information you want to hear. Now because you want to hear it, so these people are giving you. So eventually you become one of the people that is cooperating with them. Ta'awanu al-ithmi wal-udwan. La ta'awanu al-ithmi wal-udwan. Now say this, WhatsApp and all these type of sites, right? Say for example, one, two people started all this thing, and nobody is listening. Nobody is cooperating with them. Will they continue? They won't continue. They will continue because you want to be part of the group. You want to listen to all this junk. So therefore, they're continuing. But for example, you were not paying attention at all, neglected them totally for 1 year. Will they carry on? They won't carry on then. So we can't get away by saying, no, these people are doing this, and that person is doing that, But look at your capacity. All these things, look at how much you can do. That person got a capacity, he can take it. For him, that information is all right. I don't have that capacity just now. The little I'm doing, that also will get left out. So you have to measure your capacity. See, like now you got a high ace. Right? You can take, say, half a ton. So you take half a ton, you'll move smoothly. Or take a little bit less than half a ton. Right? Say, instead of you taking 500 kilos, so you took 300 kilos. So won't you move smoothly? You move very smoothly. But now you can take only half a ton, and you are pretending that you can take 5 tons. What's going to happen? Now that person who's got a horse and trailer, he can take 5 tons. He's got a horse and trailer, he's got that capacity. He'll still move, he'll still have his sanity, he'll do everything right. Right? Because he can take it. Even that person who's got a horse and trailer, he has to be careful. Otherwise, don't you see so many horse and trailers, they all capsize in the road. Don't you see that? They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to manage it. They don't know how to maneuver it. They're taking too much or they're overworking themselves. And then it's a disaster for them and disaster for others. How many people have problems after that with that horse and trailer when it capsizes? Right? Now you're rushing to the airport. 1 hour's time you have to board the plane. Right? And the horse and trailer came and I think they just capsizes before you. Now that whole traffic is jammed for 3 hours. You got your plane. Very nice you board, isn't it? But how many people get affected? See, so you also, when you take on more than what you can, then you don't only make yourself miserable, you make everybody else miserable as well. Everybody else get into problem. All get into Sakrats and Gabrats. See, so just take what you can manage. In Nahadal Deena, the Deen is easy. Just take it. Don't overdo it. Just go take it easy, you'll manage. Al-qasta tablughu. You go with moderation, then you will reach. But you go more than moderation, then you will put yourself into gabrats and sakrats, and you will put others also into gabrats and sakrats. Everybody will be in problems. So it's a thing of managing. Managing requires certain understanding. And everybody doesn't have understanding. Right? Some people do have it naturally. Some people are such that they want to listen to their elders, and with the help of the elders, they learn to understand. And some people think that they are intelligent themselves, they're capable. They know how to see things in perspective. Now, most of them make a mistake. You know, I am quite brilliant, they can look between the lines, they can do this, that, whatever. But after that, when you're looking between the lines, you become sleepless, you got gabrat. And with that gabrat, you give other people gabrat. You are in the state of worry, tension, stress, and then you make other people stressed. So then, because of the stress that you got and fought for Islam, you think I'm doing a lot of work. Because you're taking on stress, what do you feel within yourself? That I'm doing a lot for Islam. Because you're living in the state of stress. Right? That's how you feel. But under the circumstance, what are you doing? Say you heard about Palestine, right? For example. What did you do after that? From the people that are stressed, I ask them sometimes, that did you ever have the tawfiq after that to read 2 rakat namaz and cry to Allah Ta'ala? Not this, one is routine, now you heard me. She said, no, at least I read 2 rakat namaz. But one is now to take out the time and with the real feeling and spirit to cry in sajda for those people there. Any of you did that? Yeah. So what did you do after that? Besides just talking about it, discussing it, making a hoo-ha about the thing, you didn't do anything about it. So you see, the importance of taking mashwara from your elder. Elder must be also such, he understands life. It mustn't be just any person who will tell you what you want to hear. Rather, he'll tell you what you must hear. He won't tell you what you want to hear. He'll tell you what you should be hearing. I know, in Durban, I know, one person, see, information, dissemination of information. One friend of mine from India, he's telling me that his mother passed away. Or that's what happened. So, no, I just returned home, and I didn't tell them that I'm coming back home. So as I was just about entering the house, just say 30 seconds before entering the house, I phoned my mother, you know. Ma, I'm here. She got so excited, so excited, that she got a little bit of like a shock. And in the shock, she began to bleed through her nose, through her mouth. And in the next hour, she died. You see information. This happened, this my friend, and he told me this thing. What happened to his mother? He went, like how people, you know, I just want to give you a surprise. So he went and given a surprise. Now she couldn't take it. And she couldn't take it, what happened to her. Right? So this information, you don't give it. She won't be short of anything. Yes, what is supposed to be done, you must do that. Without sharing the information. And if it is that you need to share the information, then slowly drips and drops, you know, there's a problem here, you know. I think we need to sort it out. Right? This business, for example, there's a problem. One is to say, you know, hey, the whole business collapsed and everything is finished. So the immediate response of the person, what must we do now? How can we continue with our lives? So you know that person can't take the information. So what you do, you give him in drips and drops. So, you know, they got some problems, I think we should make dua for them. Then, again, you're giving another installment, a third installment, fourth, about 10 installments over 5 weeks or something, then the whole news is filtered to him. In the meanwhile, he can digest the thing. But if he couldn't digest it in one go, you gave it to him and then... This was here, whilst we were in Deoban, there was one person from Kanpur. One is Kanpur and one is Kanpur. Two different places. Kanpur is in Gujarat and Kanpur is in UP. So he fell ill and he came to Deoban. So he is quite in friendly terms with Mufsab Rahmat Ali. So he wanted to meet his son. So he phoned up and his son came in from Pakistan. A lot of difficulty because the paperwork and all takes time, see. A lot of difficulty came in. Came in straight now, came to meet Mufsab Rahmat Ali. And he met up first with his father because his father was there. And he hugged him. Father held him, said, "My mera beta, mera beta." And that he got a heart attack. Heart attack. They treated him after a month, they take him to Delhi and he passed away. Khalas. Couldn't take it. So information has to be disseminated, but how? Gradually, slowly, slowly, slowly. Everybody doesn't have the strength to take everything. Right? Some people have, their hearts are such. Right? Their hearts are such, or you may say they're insensitive, right? Some people are sensitive and some people are insensitive. Anything can happen, they'll carry on. They're not worried what's happening. So some people are so hard. Some of you see now, someone is sleeping, right? The sleep pattern is different. You can snore, you can do anything, he'll be fast asleep. He's not worried about what you're doing. You could be a bush cutter, you can be a tractor, you can be whatever. He'll carry on with his business, right? So some people are insensitive like that. And some people, the slightest sound, and it disturbs them. And for them to get the sleep again, it's another problem. So they got different patterns. Some people are very, very sensitive, and some people are completely insensitive. So I have to understand all these things here. In life, you have to understand these things. How to talk to your wife, to your children, to your elders, to your parents, to grandparents, how to talk to them. Information, you don't just filter every information. This happened to the T, telling every bit of that information, don't tell him. How is it going to improve the person's life? Yes, that person was involved in the crisis, then you ask him, you know, teach him how to manage his life. You know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. It's happened already now. Can't keep talking about this. It's not going to improve your life. Or what you should be doing. How could we improve your life? Let's get together. Let's sit. Now that's constructive. Now you'll keep talking about it, but you won't do anything for that person. So what are you doing? You kept speaking about it, but you did anything for the victim. What is supposed to be done is doing something for that victim. He's got a crisis, he's got a problem. Do something for that person. Sit down, think for him or for her. Right? Watch what they must do in their lives now. How they must carry on. Look at the future plan. Right? Past is past now. Alright, you have to sympathize one, two times. After you sympathize, then the person doesn't feel that you didn't even sympathize in my cause. You didn't even sympathize to my cause. You heard him everything. Then after you hear him, then show him the future plan, what he needs to do. Rather keep singing the same thing. This is what he did. And this is what she did. And this is what they did to me. Keep talking about it. But jab kaam karne ka waqt aata hai, to kuch karte hi nahi. When some work has to be done, constructed, you don't do anything for them. Is that the right thing? Okay. So that is why Allah Pak says, walu annam radduhu ila rasuli wa ila ulil amri minhum. See, information, so important it is. How you must disseminate, how you need to share information. What information, how, who, when, right? And then it became such an important issue that Allah Pak had to reveal an entire verse about it. That these are the adab of news. Allah Pak Tawfiq Nasib.